Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now, there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
Welcome, Larissa. Thank you for joining us today to discuss your upcoming documentary, One Heart, One Mind. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you. So now I have to admit, I have seen some of your past films and read your academic work before. So I'm excited to talk to you today and get to hear from you. Before we get into it, can you tell us what to expect from your documentary? What's it about?
Well, it's about how one of the very iconic bark petitions that were done by the Yolngu to protest the lack of consent that they gave about mining on their country and really asserted their authority over their land, how one of those paintings was in private ownership and found its way back to the community. So there's a strong story about that repatriation. So there's a strong thread about that repatriation story through it. But what really interested me about how to use that thread was being able to capture the father-daughter story of Yanamal Mununggar, who was one of the Yolngu who went to facilitate the repatriation. And her father was one of the last surviving signatory of the Bark petition. So there is actually a wonderful father-daughter story in this as well. And of course, having a legal background, I'd been really aware of the importance of the Bark petitions, and it felt like a really good way to honour their role in the broader rights movement, and particularly the Yolngu's role as strong advocates for Aboriginal rights, not just for their own community, but to look at the national significance of what they've done. So they felt like there was a lot to explore, and hopefully all of those threads will resonate with the audience.
How did the Lost Bark petition story find you, or did you find it? You know, what made you decide to take this whole project on?
Well, actually, I ran into an historian, Claire Wright, who features in the documentary, who was writing a book about the Yirrkala Barks, and the book's just come out. And she was telling me this story and said, oh, you know, it would be great for a documentary. And I thought it would, but it wasn't really I guess the question you always ask yourself is this story my story to tell? But when I realised Yanamal Mununggar's role in the story, I became much more deeply interested in whether this was something that I could contribute to in terms of storytelling, because I hadn't known her personally, but I'd been a strong admirer of hers because she was a very strong voice in terms of advocating for her community during the Northern Territory intervention, which is when I first became aware of her and her really strong leadership. And I thought, here's a really strong First Nations woman who I would love to showcase doing this kind of work for her community and showing that. So I have to confess that that was a really big draw for me. And then thinking more deeply about how to bring to life the importance of the Bark petitions to the broader Aboriginal community and then the Australian community, I thought of all the really fantastic First Nations lawyers I knew, people like Nicole Watson, Jackie Katona, Eddie Cabillo, some of who are from the Northern Territory, have also been really big advocates for the very issues that are in the film, you know, protesting about the Northern Territory intervention, for example. And it felt like there was a way in which I could bring that broader story and those Indigenous voices, other than Claire Wright, who I mentioned before. All of the experts in the film are First Nations, and I felt it was really important to get that together. So I felt that when those elements came together, that this was a story that I could tell, and I've done it with a great deal of passion.
So keen to hear so much Black voices inside of this documentary. It's going to be such a big one, especially with the journey that you took for it being there. That's great. And being a part of such an important like part of history would be a big impact to your own personal journey. Hearing from all these stories from all the different people over the course of filming, did it change you or make you think differently afterwards?
Well, I guess it no doubt gave me a deeper appreciation of the Barks, even though I had, as a lawyer, understood their real importance. They were the first petition given to the federal parliament, the first petition in language. They embraced the concepts of sovereignty and land rights. But it's such a different thing to see the community connection and to more deeply understand the story of how they came about. So from that level, it deepened it. And I have to say, on a much more personal level, I've been spending a lot of time in the last couple of years, as I've had my own native title recognised, back on country, learning my Yuwalari language. And it's given me a greater appreciation of my father's legacy, who recorded a lot of our oral histories and helped with the regeneration of our language, which I'm now learning. And I guess seeing that relationship between Yanamal and her father actually helped me really think more deeply about how I honour that relationship with my father. So, in a very unexpected way, I could have predicted I would learn more about the Barts, but in terms of that personal and cultural thing, I felt I really learned a lot from being able to tell this story.
I also saw something. I remember seeing something. Yes, how Yanamal said it was so important for her that the Bark Petition Referendum gets returned, that young people still remember hearing about it. So I feel like that's some big part as well. So, say you're in your own language journey and stuff like that. So, the final Bark Petition has made its way back to country now. So, is this the end of that journey, or do you believe there's more to come from the story of the Yirrkala Bark Petitions in particular, the ones that are starting to? You know, because they're all together now, we're known. So, is there anything new you think will come?
Well, I think we're in a time where Indigenous rights and our advocacy are as important as they've ever been. Post the referendum, there's been, I think, a bit of a shift nationally where we're feeling like there's not as much political appetite for the recognition of our rights, though our claims have remained really constant. It's a wonderful thing about the Bark petitions, but also a very sobering thing that the things that they claim are as that they were claiming when they were written in 1963 are as relevant today in 2024. And that is sobering, but it's also reassuring that, our advocacy continues to be strong. So I would anticipate that they still have an important role to play. And, I kind of love that this particular bark, this wasn't a story of repatriation where something was stolen and it's been returned. These bark petitions were gifted by the Yolngu to people to go out as a message. And the fact that the bark petition has found its way back home feels like the bark petition is telling us that's where it needs to be. I would be very surprised if that's the end of the story, given particularly the history that the Yolngu have of political activism on the national stage and the environment that we're finding ourselves in. I'm pretty confident there's much more to come in this story.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.